Podcasting worldwide from Vancouver, Canada. Welcome back to the Personal Process Podcast. The show that takes you through the growth, hardship, self-discovery, lessons, and stories of individuals who achieved success in their own personal path. Trust the process.
Well, I think I'm happy to talk about more kind of where we're at now, because that's been pretty chaotic. So as I was kind of saying, you know, and again, it's important not to compare and whatnot, but I those first 2 years at SFU, you know, when I say they were tough, they were tough. Grades were not good. And so, you know, when I was finishing towards the end of my undergrad, I was starting to say, okay, where am I going to apply for university? You know, dentistry is the plan. Where am I going to go? And I started looking at Canadian schools. You know, each school or each province, for the most part, prefers students from its own province, because it becomes kind of like an input of labor. What are they going to get as the output? And so usually if a student comes from a different province, the expectation is, okay, you finish your school there and you're going to go back. What are they going to get from the province? Probably not much. So I looked at UBC, you know, the only dental school in BC, and the grade cutoffs were super high. It was super competitive. And unfortunately at the time, like, my grades were not at the average for admission. And I remember going to one of the open houses that they had, and I spoke to one of the folks there and I said, hey, here are my stats. Here's my numbers, you know, volunteering. What do you think my shots of having a competitive application? And then the lady there was brutally honest, and sometimes that can be nice, but this one was not so nice. And she was like, you know, if you wanted to have a really strong application, I'd probably recommend you redo your entire first year of undergrad.
Wow.
And I was like, oof, that's a hard one to hear.
Yep.
And, you know, I started to think to myself, you know, undergrad or dentistry at UBC is already incredibly expensive. Unfortunately, if folks don't know, the most expensive doctorate almost in anywhere you go is dentistry by quite a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
I know.
I do, sadly. So if you go to UBC for a domestic dentistry, you're paying for your degree $240,000 as a local BC resident. Every person that you know from BC who's going to UBC dentistry will be paying $240,000 just for their schooling.
Wow.
It's insane. Compared to, I'm sure you maybe might know, UBC Med, what is the cost for the 4 years there?
I think, honestly, I'm just throwing out numbers. I think it's
no problem.
10 to 20 grand a year. So maybe 40 to 80. I'm probably butchering those numbers though. So huge.
I mean, no problem. But I mean, even if we had said, let's say 100,000, you know, that the fact of the matter became that costs were super expensive compared to other programs like Med or even law that I've heard of. Mm-hmm. So I looked at, for example, the States. I had a friend at NYU and he was doing dentistry there. And I said, hey, how much is your program sending you back? Because he was in his fourth year. And he told me, this one hurt, man. He told me by the end of my 4 years with costs and everything, I'll be paying about $600,000.
Sir, we're going to take a moment of silence for that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Just take a second to think about this poor guy and the bank that's just been chuckling it up for the next 10 years. And, you know, so I started to tell myself, okay, you know, like, I come from a good family, but I mean, I paid for all of my undergrad and, you know, we're in a good position, but it's hard for me to tell my family, you know, I'm going to go to the States and pay $600K.
Sure.
So I started looking at, you know, I told myself, what if I just went really abroad? I had a cousin who was in Australia. He was doing med, loved the program, and was just making the most of it. He had just come back and found residency here and was just in an amazing spot. And I spoke with him and he said, yeah, well, you know, Australia is a great place because, for example, for those that don't know, if you do dentistry, there are only three countries you can go to that are partnered with Canada. So if one of us were to go there to do schooling or vice versa, the moment you finish your education, you are ready to start practicing. And unlike med, where you have to do a year or two of practicum, with dentistry, once you finish your degree, you are fully licensed, no practicum required. And those three countries being New Zealand, Ireland, and Australia. The States is not one of them. So if a Canadian or vice versa goes to the States, you would not be able to come back here and start practicing right away. You'd have to go through a lot more exams and licensing and all that stuff. So I said, you know, here we are again. What if I went abroad? Like, what if I went to a different country? And I said, you know, that's got to be crazy. You know, I've lived in BC my whole life. I've never left. But what if? Like, what if I just give it a shot? And so, you know, I said, you know what, let's look into it. Let's look online. Turns out the application is free for Canadians. Companies, private companies will do your application to go abroad. And because obviously international students will pay more than domestic students to go to Australia, these third party kind of agents would be paid by the school if they get a Canadian accepted. And so these companies would say, like, hey, send us your paperwork, send us your exam scores. So I reached out to this company, Oztrek, and they've been amazing. And they said, let's look at your scores. And the lady, you know, I was kind of expecting her to be like, oh, man, like going abroad, it must be crazy. I probably have no shot. But oh, well, let's give it a shot. And she goes, you've actually got a really competitive application. And I go, oh, wow, like I haven't heard that one in a while. And so I said, you know what, let's pursue it. You know, I talked to family because surprisingly, the fees there were about the same as going here domestically to UBC. The costs were pretty identical. It was quite shocking to me. And again, as we were saying earlier, you know, I love being out of my comfort zone. I love trying something new. To me, it was like, you know, if I'm, whether I go to, let's say, Alberta, whether I go to Australia, I'm going to be moving out and living on my own anyways. Why not go somewhere that's a huge change and a totally new experience that's just going to kind of shock me into maybe becoming an even better version of myself through this challenge? And so Australia became the place to me, and specifically Sydney. They had an amazing dental program. Their application focused really heavily on the dental entrance exam, which again, I'm super happy that I scored really well on. So I applied. This was this summer. I was feeling great. Got through the first cycle, got through the second cycle. Everything was looking good. I was getting shortlisted. You know, offers were around the corner. I was crossing my fingers, feeling good. And then we, you know, the date still sticks with me. September 25th, we get an email. And of course, I don't have to tell anybody about what's going on this year with travel implications and the borders and things. And it's from the University of Sydney. And they told us, you have 4 days to tell us where you currently reside. Like, where do you currently live? And if in the next 4 days you are not in Australia, like fully settled down legally with a visa and everything, keep in mind that, you know, their borders are fully shut off. They've had one of the strictest regulations in the entire world, which is why their numbers are very low, but they have no travel allowed whatsoever. Even now, today's December 12th, they've just started allowing flights from citizens and current visa holders.
Right.
So I tell myself, oh my God, 4 days. I go to my dad and I was like, am I going to be able to get into Australia in 4 days? And he was like, I'll book you something. And, you know, we went and we looked online, nothing. No, you know, there was no loophole. Yep. So I said, oh, I'm in Canada, you know, and they said, well, wah, wah, you know, sorry. Like they basically said, we can either freeze your application for next year or you can, you know, we'll refund you your fee that you paid and you can be on your merry way. So it was, you know, not news we expected. It was a big shock, but.
And this is pretty much when you got accepted and they're sending this email, right?
True, true. We were at the final wave, ready for things to kind of start rolling.
Yeah. And Samer, you know, like when they mentioned this, like, tell me what's going through your head, man. Because, you know, we're talking about goals. We're talking about goal setting. You know, you grinded for this, the perception, you came through with it. You got 95th percentile. You know, you're doing this while working, which we talked about in a previous episode with Joe. You know, it's a lot harder, you know, like when you're working and you're doing a job, it's not just the work you're doing, it's your thoughts, it's your brain. Anyways, this is all to say that you have put in the work, you've got the results, you have done everything you have done in your power. And now we go back to that 99% luck and situation where the world just isn't giving it to you right now. And take me through like how you're feeling at that time, man. Like,
yeah, you know, it's hard to sit here and tell you like I got the email and went, well, that's unfortunate. Anyways, like, no, of course, at the moment it was, you know, I probably read through that email maybe 10 to 15 times being like, I'm sure I've missed something. There's probably a section at the bottom that goes, but in any ways, you know, there was nothing. It was about as blunt as it could get. They were like, hey, if you can't make it work, you're going to have to freeze until next year. And, you know, I remember sitting there and just, I took like 5 minutes, took out my headphones and I kind of just sat there and I was like, what do I do? Like I normally kind of have a backup. I normally have something to fall back on, or I know what I want to do. This is one of those situations where I kind of just sat there and I just said, I don't know. I'm not sure. I didn't even respond to the email. I just kind of closed my laptop and I just, you know, I think the best thing I had done was not handle it by myself. I instantly shut my laptop. I went to my parents and I was like, here's what just happened. What the heck do I do? And it was kind of them being calm and walking me through it. That was a huge help because I'm sitting here talking to you about it calmly. But at the moment I was like, oh my God, oh my God. Like everything's on fire and, you know, and it's crazy. Sure. But for them, they were like, all right, well, let's think logically, you know, worst case scenario, what if you get to next year and you freeze your applications and more people are freezing and then you have next year's cycle and it's going to be really competitive. What do you do? And I go, I don't know. You know, and so they said, okay, we're going to think of some backups. We don't just want a plan B. We want a plan C through G. You know, we want to set as many options as possible. So they said, okay, what's something you always thought about doing, you know, possibly? And I said, you know, if dentistry never worked out, I always wanted to teach. Like, you know, becoming a professor to me has always been something in the back of my mind I loved, but never really thought that much about it. They were like, okay, what's the next step we do with that? So instantly it became not about, you know, like, it just became, all right, we're in this moment. It's happened. What now? What do we do? So it became, okay, if I want to go into a professor, I'm going to need a master's next. They said, great. The next week, they said, okay, go upstairs. Tell them you're going to freeze your application. We'll wait till next year. Because they asked me. They were like, is it still something that you want? And that's something you got to remember sometimes. Is it still something that I want to do, is to wait till next year? And I said, totally. They said, great, go upstairs. Freeze your application, shut the laptop, come back downstairs. And I was like, okay. Went there, did it, came back down. They said, okay, for the next week, go and find master's programs online. Masters of Public Health was the one I was looking into. And find schools across Canada that have a program you like, that has something that fits the routine you're looking for. For the next week, you're going to get your mind as busy as possible from this bad news. Don't spend there, because I'm one of those people, unfortunately, it's one of my sins, is just when something doesn't go my way, I think about it a lot and I put so much thought and energy into it and it's not good. So they said, we want you to be as busy as possible. And I recommend this to anybody. If you're going through a tough patch and something bad's happening, regardless of what it is, keep your mind as busy as possible in any way you can. So I went and I brainstormed, I took out my journal, I wrote down options, and that was a huge help. So yeah, the news was tough at the time. Even till now, there's moments where I'm like, wow, I can't believe that happened. But, you know, it is what it is, you know, day by day, you got to keep going with it.
Absolutely, Samer. And I guess I'd just like to throw out the shout out to the personal process that you're going through right now, you know, because
so true.
I think especially in our generation, Samer, you know, a lot of people are just, you know, fronting success on their Instagram, on their social media, just even in daily conversations. And it's hard, you know, like, especially when you've literally put in as much input as you can. And the output machine, man, is just, it's just, you know, it's a work in progress for now, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But the thing I wanted to mention is, you know, like, when you started university, I think we talked about this briefly, this process that you went through in summer, you know, you started university and you were like, I want to go medicine. And then, you know, things didn't work out and you took that in a positive direction. You loved the struggle and you went into talking to your uncle or your cousin, sorry, your cousin. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that happened. You talked to the orthodontist, that happened. Now you go to here. And, you know, it's hard to say, but maybe the long-term goal wasn't the one that you wanted to do, but the short-term goals still have a path to lead you into your future. And maybe if that didn't happen, you wouldn't be where you are now, which will lead you to, I don't know, let's say world-class researcher or professor, or who knows where it goes from there, right? Public speaker, who knows? But I guess what I'm trying to say to you and everyone listening is, you know, the ups and downs of life, especially in situations where you've done absolutely everything, which you should be content about, Samer, because 95th percentile is no joke, you know, ultimately just, you know, who was it? Was it from Muhammad Ali that they were saying roll with the punches? It's probably from someone else. Was it? Okay, sweet.
I think
Yeah. My brain's working 10% at least.
You got it.
But, you know, like roll with the punches and just keep going. What next? What next? What next? What now? Mm-hmm. You know, those are very important things. And, you know, I think, I don't know if you can speak to this, but me and Samer have both actually run for election. We've both lost on some elections. We've both won on some elections. And, you know, when you're running even for a student election, believe it or not, it can get very dirty and very personal. We won't get into all of that But I think the one thing that I wanted to mention from this is, you know, when these things happen, you literally have to keep your cool and keep rolling. There's a lot of people that, you know, can't handle it. But I don't know if you were mentioning this specifically, but Sam, like literally, like there'd be people that I was working with, you know, sometimes I had a political team that I was leading, and literally people would come in like, oh, this person's doing this. What do we do? I'm like, okay, sweet. Got that information. What next? What next? And keep planning, sure. Keep planning, keep going. And that's just a small scale version of, I think, life. And, you know, I failed. I don't know if it was one or two elections. I think one. So, and I'll tell you what, Sammer, I don't know if you can speak to this, but that one failure for me was the most pivotal thing in that whole career, because they say that in, you know, victory, you celebrate, you go out, you bring your friends. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know, when you fail, you have a chance to reflect and you think about the actions that you've done. You think about what you've done. You think about the actions people have done for you. And you kind of sit down with your feelings, your emotions. And once you're at a place where you can reflect on it, because obviously if there's a very big impact thing, you do want to take some time to just rest or maybe keep your mind occupied. But once you have that time to reflect, you realize who you are as a person. You realize the attributes that you bring. And honestly, Samri, like that was one of the biggest things that I took away from it. And I was messaging you earlier, like right when I heard the news, I'm like, listen, man, like I know this is tough. And obviously I can't imagine what it's like you're going through, because I haven't gone through that experience, but you've done everything you can. And the output machine is literally malfunctioning. So, you know, just roll with the punches and keep going forward. Like, I mean, what's been your take on this? After, because this has happened about 2 to 3 months ago, probably even more. So, like, how are you dealing with it now?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's been about about 3-ish months or so. Definitely dealing with it a lot better, because I think the important thing to remember is, you know, as I'm sitting here and talking about this, I've had a chance in these last 3 months to talk to a lot of people, and so many people I've heard from have shared stories similar to this in so many different ways, you know, right. You know, even one crazy thing is, you know, something that really kind of changed my perspective is I was talking to this guy I met online named Quinn, and lives out in Alberta. And I don't know him very much. We had just gotten connected because we were both applying to Australia this cycle. And we, you know, joined a Facebook group together and started chatting.
Yeah.
And Quinn is, I believe, 4 years older than me, finished a degree in engineering from University of Alberta a couple of years ago, which has nothing to do with dentistry, I know, and worked for 4 years, did his PEng and got everything finished up, finished 4 years and said, you know what, this isn't something that's for me. I want to try dentistry, which kudos to that mindset. Took a couple of bio courses, took a couple of, you know, intro undergrad courses just to get his prereqs out of the way, applied to Australia. And the thing with Australia's system is here in Canada, you can't jump into a program like Med or Dentistry without some portion of an undergrad degree, at least 90 credits, 3 years worth.
Sure.
In Australia, students there can actually finish high school and jump into a 5-year program for Med or Dentistry right away. But you can also apply to those 5-year programs from, like, let's say finishing an undergrad here. So I had only applied to the doctorate, the 4-year ones.
Sure.
The doctorate programs there and the undergrad programs there are technically the same. They just take longer, but you get the same licensing.
Right.
So he had applied to a school called James Cook University, which is a 5-year program. And they were still taking applicants to do online schooling for this cycle. Sydney had told us later on, we didn't actually know this, but they had told us they don't want to do any of the program online, which is why they gave us this kind of like brutal news. But Quinn had applied to James Cook, gotten an offer, you know, this is about a month before we got the news, because they sent theirs out earlier, told himself, you know what, I'm going to wait till Sydney, because Quinn had scored, I believe, in like the 99th percentile of the exam, did phenomenal. And he was like, you know what, Sydney focuses a lot on the exam. I'm going to wait. I feel like this is for me.
Sure.
Turned down his offer to James Cook.
Wow.
Waited till Sydney. Got the news, and you know, him and I were having an offline conversation, and I was like, you know, this must have been a lot to take in, because for me it was like, you know, it wasn't like I turned down plan A for plan B, like it was just, this is what I hoped for, didn't work out, on to the next thing. Still tough, but to hear from someone else like, hey, I had an offer right there, turned it down, waited for this path didn't work, you know. So I was, it's a pretty similar story, but seeing someone who had it a little tougher than me and was still like, hey, you know what? I froze my application. I've still got a job working in the engineering field. I'll keep it going because at least it's paying me now. On to bigger and better things. We'll see what next year has in store. I was like, wow.
Wow.
You know, even though I'm not speaking to you in person, it's just on Messenger. Like, I love that mindset. So it's like, hey, here's someone who's got a little bit tougher than me and is kind of just, you know, rolling with the punches, taking the news as it comes, even though it's tougher than mine, and is unbothered, unaffected, you know, is going on with it, which I love to see. And it kept on going. I was talking to friends who weren't able to start law school this year because of the news, or had to shift online and couldn't go abroad for a scholarship. I had friends who had internships at amazing companies that got turned down because of the COVID, you know, situation.
Right.
So I'm seeing all these friends around me, friends who are losing their jobs, friends who are, you know, unfortunately losing loved ones, and all these really tough situations. And I'm going to myself, you know, I've gotten a good income with my work. I'm living at home with my family. You know, there are things that are still moving in place that I'm still super fortunate for. And especially now, looking back at it, I'm like, yeah, the news was tough at the time, and it still is tough, but it's what you make of it. You know, 20 years from now, when hopefully, you know, or a dentist or whatever the aspect is, and someone comes up to you and goes, you know, why have you stuck with this for so long? How is this something that's been worth it? You go, let me tell you. Oh my God, let me tell you. And you can look back at that moment and be like, I went through a chaotic year that pretty much nobody's ever gone through. And I knew that even after coming out of that, that I dealt with all this stuff and said, you know what, even through all this nonsense and things that have happened, I knew it was the path for me, and it just made the journey that much better.
Absolutely. And that's a huge point. Two points that I want to quickly touch up on is, like you mentioned, there's a lot of people going through this and or something similar. And you know, just by having these stories, and that's kind of like why I made this podcast and all this, because people don't get to talk about this too often. And you know, like me and you are pretty open people, Samer, but for, dare I say it, probably 80% of people, they don't share this depth of their life with people. And by having a podcast like this, where people like you and others are able to open up about this and tell us about the process, it could potentially save someone's life, or at least a couple of years, or at least their path forward in a safe and responsible way, rather than going into negative coping mechanisms. So first of all, thank you for sharing this experience, because I know it's hard. And the second part that I wanted to touch upon, Samer, is, you know, like this one event may change your life, even in a positive direction. And the reason that I mention that is, you know, this one event happened, you shared this experience, and who knows what the ramifications of this are. Maybe there is one person who watches this podcast and reaches out to you and says, hey man, like something happened similar to me. You get talking, and then who knows, maybe that starts a business, maybe that starts a friendship, maybe XYZ. But you know, like the thing is, like no one has an answer to the future. You know, no one knows what's going on in the future. And in investing, that's kind of the saying, it's like you can't predict the market. And
Perfect.
as someone who literally started investing in February, and for those that don't know, like I think it was 2 weeks before that I started investing that the market just plunged. You know, you literally do not know what happens in the market, and you don't know what happens in life, and any negative can be framed as a positive, and you should, because ultimately, regardless of what cards you're given, the way that you play them is up to you 100%. And you really don't know if it's an actual positive or negative, so you might as well give yourself the benefit of the doubt and go forward with that. Man, that's value right there, ladies and gentlemen. I feel like we're just talking about a lot of things in life. I mean, Samer, like, where do you want to take this next, man? I'm loving all this. Hey everyone, Parham back after another amazing episode with another amazing guest. We hope we added value into your life so you could take the tips from this episode and fuel your process forward. If you enjoyed our episode today and think other friends or family members may also appreciate the lessons that our podcast brings, be sure to share us with them. Subscribe and rate our show so we know how we did. And always remember, trust the process.